You are listening to Andy ANCAP's Volunteerist Radio Hour. We're here to take on the thugs who are trying to bring United to heel. Now we bring our solution to the United disaster with volunteerism, the free market, and the non-aggression principle.
I have an entire thing about this plan in that voice.
We started the show, right?
Yeah. Guys. Guys.
What?
Yeah.
We got to talk about the Boss Baby.
Oh, yeah, shit, yeah.
I was gonna say, it's,
can I say my favorite Sopranos thing ever?
God damn it!
No! We're talking
just
about
one thing,
cinema.
It's real quick.
Just, fucking Christ.
This is your Chapo for this week. It's Chapo, let's go. Joining us now for the second time, making his triumphant return, Adam Friedland.
Second Timers Club. I got the green blazer.
Those
like the
shoes.
Oh, thank you.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Someone's shoes look like a fam.
Guys, these shoes, I happen to know I went up to a very cool teenager
it's
on the street.
It's macrame by Yeezy.
Yeah, it's like they're like sort of athletic. They're a sports sandal, and you know what? It's my look for the summer. And I'm glad I busted
but
them out.
You're wearing them with socks.
I'm wearing
socks.
Them with
no, when this
brown dress socks,
live,
gold toe from
to
Costco.
Tweet pictures of these abortions he's wearing on his feet.
What you talking about? This is style. Okay,
I'm wearing the Running Bull ones.
How's your skin, by the way? Have you started using your snail mucus?
I started my program. Amber's got me on right now, skincare program. I had a really rough winter this year with the dryness and flaking. But yeah, hopefully in the next week I'm going to be back in action.
Yeah.
Having a beautiful shimmering face. Still can't grow a full beard, but I think that's stage two of face recovery.
And you shaved after Passover. You had that horrifying mustache.
I did. I grew a mustache to become a 30-year-old man, but it was I can't grow it in the middle. I'm sort of the opposite of Hitler, guys. I'm a really good guy.
Who's the guy
in many ways
Motley
you are the
Crew
opposite of Hitler.
Mick Mars, that's it. He had that famously, yeah. The catfish. It's a good look. You might want to look more into like filling it out.
Yeah.
Now he has Korean skincare. He's going to expose the whole beautiful.
I'm going to look so fucking hot. I'm going to look like a porcelain baby.
Adam does kind of look like a woman who's on a K-pop show now.
Oh, it's true.
Like
yeah,
K-drama.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Boss Baby.
Wait, I just want to say my one Soprano.
No.
Oh God damn it!
It's worth it. Sorry, I'm busting your flow, guys. I'm coming in here. I got the green blazer on for my second time. Pier not chops. Okay, there's this scene right at the beginning of the scene. Carmela's in the kitchen and she's facing a picture of Anthony Jr., right? Who's one of the ugliest people I've ever seen.
It's
and
true.
She's holding
He's
a pencil
ugly child.
And she's sketching the picture of Anthony Jr. And it shows for 1 second her drawing of her disgusting son, and it's the funniest part of all 6.5 seasons. What is it? 6, but this last one was 2 seasons.
Are you sure that wasn't in a dream sequence?
No,
they had great dream sequences.
They suck.
Okay, we're not going down this path.
Thank you,
Boss. Let's get back on track. Like I said, we have Adam on the show because Adam has a story to tell that you've probably already heard. But it's
like Rashomon.
Funny.
It yeah. requires multiple
exactly.
telling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah. We're going to talk to you about a few other things that are burning up the news with Adam. Before we get that, we need to report from Matt Cinema Crispin on Boss Baby.
Hell yeah.
You actually went to see.
I went and saw Boss Baby. It was my friend and I were having dinner and we're like, oh, what is like really? It's too hot and I'm stupidly wearing pants and what do we want to do? And it's like, well, let's see what's terrible at the theater. I mean, we saw the last Transformers movie together. You know, we like a good time in the theater, smuggling some rum. And it's like, oh, Boss Baby. And we're like, that's the stupidest thing we could pick. So we went with it. And so, yeah, we got some booze and we went in. And it really did deliver. It was incredibly entertaining. For one thing, the real dominant motif is CGI children's asses. Like, every other joke is a shot of a child's either butt crack in diapers or just bare ass.
A production by Brian Cox in conjunction with Podesta Films and Jeffrey Epstein Pictures.
I mean, it's funny because obviously, like, it was very – there's a lot of poopy and, you know, potty jokes. But there, I found out there's a really thin line between like juvenile potty humor and just straight up child pornography, and it was right on that line.
That is the line that most artists have trouble with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. If you create anything, you're like, this is really good, but am I getting into child porn territory? Like, if you're challenging yourself creatively, you should be having that problem.
Yeah.
But, like, Matt, this is what, like, okay, we've all seen the poster, yeah. And that's basically everyone responding to.
Yeah.
What is, like, the premise of this
movie?
The
boss baby. What are you talking about?
He's a Bruce Springsteen baby.
Yeah. No. Okay. Basically, in this world, that's what's really fascinating is the world that they create, is that it really is like a brutal piece of propaganda in its own way. It posits that babies come from a factory for a company called Baby Corps. And most babies come to Earth as children, but some babies who, when they're tickled, don't laugh, become managers of Baby Corps. And then they all live in, like, they work in an office building where they, like, basically manufacture the other babies and then promote people wanting to have babies on Earth.
Isn't this exactly what Scientologists believe?
Yeah, I was about to say.
I have to say, as a high person, this is so upsetting to listen to.
No, it's very good. It's excellent, and I loved it. And they send the boss baby down to Earth. He's one of the executives to be the little brother
voiced
of this
by
kid.
Alec Baldwin.
Yeah. Because there's this company called Puppy Co. that's basically like a giant puppy mill that's supposedly coming out with a beautiful, perfect, cute puppy that's going to be so cute that people aren't going to want kids anymore, and so there will be no children.
Wow.
It's basically a prequel to Children of Men.
This is it's the decadent West. Yeah,
and so they
send
the boss baby down to stop it. But what kind of annoyed me is that what the boss baby does.
This is white nationalist propaganda. I'm sorry.
What the boss baby does is more like corporate espionage. And you wouldn't send somebody from management to do that. You would, like, you know, hire it out to another company. So that wasn't believable. But what was really, like, grim and depressing about it is the way that it sets up capitalism as, like, not just a transient human structure, but as the foundation and basis for all existence. Mm. Like, the babies are in this corporation. They have money. Like, he has money that he gets from working there. So,
that's
like, they
the
have
dream.
Capitalism where humans are literally forged. And some people might say, well, the way the movie is kind of suggests, the way the movie is set up, it sort of suggests that this is all the younger brother imagining. Like, he's basically dealing with having a younger brother
and what
it does in his family. And this is, like, his imagined way of, like, coping with it. But as Lacan teaches us, ideological fantasies structure reality. So that is really, like, that's part of what the boss baby is. It's to tell us that we cannot escape capitalism. Anywhere.
Are there adults in the Boss Baby universe?
Yes.
Does he interact with them? And
he
like,
does, but he doesn't. He pretends to be a regular baby in front of them.
Oh, I see. So it's sort of like the secret life of pets.
Right. Yeah. The kid's the only one who knows that he's a boss baby, okay. Even though he wears a suit and carries a briefcase.
Is there a part where the boss baby is like, even I, the boss baby, the smartest baby, could not fight against the tyranny of a sick judge ripping me from my father Alec Baldwin's arms? And delivering me to my bitch mother, Kim Basinger, and poisoning my mind against her.
How about this? Glengarry Glenn Boss Baby.
Well, there is a Glengarry joke. It's in the trailer. He's with these other babies around a conference table, and the kid has a cookie. He goes, put the cookie down. Cookies are for closers. Which is going to kill among the 4-year-olds who go to see this movie.
Check this out. ABC, Always Be Crying.
But the real things that power the movie are is that the boss baby, all babies know about this when they're born, but when they stop sucking on a pacifier, they forget it. And also the boss babies stay babies forever because they drink magic formula that keeps them as babies so they don't grow.
That's just steroids. Like, it stunts your growth. And, like, if you want your baby to be a baby forever, you're listening, you've somehow bred,
that was the
give
same,
your baby steroids.
That was the milk that that doctor was giving Michael Jackson.
Yes.
It was milk to help him stay a baby forever.
And there's a scene towards the end where the boss baby goes back to Baby Co. having succeeded and gets a huge party, and they're spraying him with formula, and it, honest to God, looks like Bukkake. Like, we were, like, looking at each other like, anybody who goes to this movie unattended with a child deserves to be chemically castrated, including both of us. Then they go to, when they're spending time in Baby Corps, I'm like, I was just yelling basically under my breath, like, does he have a house? Does he go home? Like, are there restaurants and stuff? Like, are there other babies doing, like, manual labor and things?
Are like,
Is there a Boss Baby city? Are there Boss Baby municipal workers?
Right, because there is money. He has a
big
wad of hundreds.
Are there Boss Baby couples?
Yeah.
Are there married babies?
So, Boss Baby, so you would recommend going to see a movie
Highly
because it's a dumb
Boss
internet
Baby.
Joke?
Just go in there. It is. You'll be occupied either by being viscerally upset by the really perfectly rendered digital baby asses. And when we walked out, I was like, holy shit, I'm glad we decided not to see the 3D one. And then also asking questions the entire time about how this is supposed to work. Because it's absolutely
the
baffling.
Universe is full of holes.
It's totally weird. Like, the premise is, like, they have to get people to want to have babies. Like, they have to market having babies. But, like, there's no role for... Because her mom gets pregnant. Like, his mom has a belly. But then Boss Baby shows up in a taxi. Like, he shows up to their house in a taxi...
Unattended.
Wearing the suit, unattended, with a suitcase, a briefcase.
I was going to say, like, you describing the plot of this movie sounds like they gave it to, like, a team of screenwriters, but, like, had them base it on a journal that was found in, like, the home of one of those, like, Henry Darger-style outsider artists.
Yeah. Apparently, it is based on a series of children's books.
No, it is David Mamet, actually.
Well, yeah, if we haven't disturbed you and disgusted you enough already talking about Boss Baby, let's talk about something even more disturbing, which is coordinated online harassment.
Adam,
awesome.
Adam, you recently gaslit and assaulted a woman. Tell us about that.
I defended all of yours. Uses honor.
Start from the beginning. Show me on the doll.
I got in trouble for being a good friend, actually.
Now,
which happens to me constantly.
If you're a crossover, you know, listener to us in Come Town, I'm sorry to cannibalize this material, but if you're not, you may have heard us make allusion to it, but, you know, Adam was just visiting L.A., the city of
LA.
Angles.
Yeah, it's an angular.
Getting that Zog money.
Yeah, yeah.
And you had a cab ride that turned very salty on account of us.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, first, I was in the hills at this pool party.
Hollywood Hills.
And there were a lot of gentlemen that looked similar to me. And I couldn't figure it out. And then a lot of older men as well. And it was just older men and then clean-shaven, smooth gentlemen like myself.
This is the prosciutto and melon pizza gate.
And anyway... I took a sip of this drink, and then I woke up 12 hours later.
Anyway, I'm in the new X-Men movie.
I got a walk on in Logan 2, which I'm pretty excited about. I play his best friend. Okay, I was in L.A. I was going to meet my friend Stavros, and I got in a Lyft. Because it's way cheaper in LA than it is in New York. That's not interesting. But in New York,
okay,
it's weird though.
You're doing that comedian thing. It's like a reflex. You cannot not compare New York to LA.
In New York,
no, he's doing the comedian thing about talking about comparing prices of things.
Yeah.
And where it's
cheaper
elsewhere.
Yeah,
don't you triple parentheses? parentheses.
Comedians are doing that, and comedians sit on occupy the majority of the seats on the National Security Council, and somehow we're fucking bombing Syria now because of all the comedians on there. But it's racist to point that out, that they're all comedians.
Speaking of, I got tickets to dun, 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 New Rules.
Hell yeah.
I got tickets.
Yeah.
How awesome was that, by
Brandon
way?
Wardell ruined...
He had Brandon Wardell on.
We were supposed to go, and then he's like, you got the tickets to the rehearsal. I'm going to get us tickets to the Friday show, and then... We didn't.
God damn it.
Brandon,
he fucking flaked
everything.
On me.
Brandon was on the
show.
Okay, so I'm in a Lyft. I'm going to meet my pal, Stavros, Cometown. And in New York, sorry to do this, Amber.
Ah, you motherfucker.
In New York, it's just a guy that was from Senegal and doesn't know how he got here. And he does. He leaves you alone, lets you get to your fucking destination. But in L.A., it's always like some dude that's probably a failed actor. And he's just like, so what's your experience with rideshare? You know? Which is just like, oh. It's like, hey, I'm Damien, triple threat. I don't know if you saw, I'm a 4.9, but an L.A. 10.
The way you get rid of that is you start telling them the truth about Syria. That's what I do in every car that I'm in. But in L.A., they won't talk to you.
So he's like, what, you know, this guy's like, what are you doing here? And I'm just like, first of all, I was surprised they were even talking. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing talking to me? And there was a lady in the lift already. And so I was like, oh, I'm here for a podcast. And he's like, oh, what's, you know, what's that like? And she's like, a pot. And then the lady sitting next to me said, oh, a podcast. That's very interesting. What's your podcast called? And I can immediately tell that she would not like the podcast.
You just looked her up and down and thought, no, you will not know this information about me.
It was just a vibe thing. And, you know, that's one of my talents. If, as an X-Men, actually, in the Logan movie, my talent is that I could tell if someone is a cum boy or not.
She was not.
Yeah, she's not. The guy that called all the JCCs with the bomb threats, probably. probably a cum boy.
So, like, you know, you're thinking, you're like, okay, don't want to tell her my podcast.
So I was like,
so you're like,
so she's like, what's it called?
Play it safe.
I was like, it's comedy. That was my response, right? Because I wasn't trying to necessarily engage.
Nice touch.
It's comedy. So, you know, whatever. So then she's like, yeah, I got a podcast myself. It's a political podcast. And so, in order to change the subject from cum into safer water, from what I understood, like book reading ass water, I was like, oh shit, my friends have a political podcast too. That's crazy. I think it's like I think people like it.
See, this is why I'm not really that sympathetic, because if she said, oh, I have a political podcast too, or I have a political podcast, I would have said, that's cool.
Yeah, I should have shut up. And I should have not said anything.
Yeah, but you don't do that.
But I don't do that because I'm my father and I'm 30 and okay. But so I was like, oh, my friends have one. She's like, what's it called? And I'm like, it's called Chop Out Trap House. It's like, and then the second I said that,
just the steel shutter is just slammed down,
rushing out of her face. And she's like, oh, no. So I was like, what? They like, I was about to say, like, you know, they like plan out what they're gonna say before the show and stuff. It's pretty good, because that's like my bar on what makes a good podcast. Not just like me and Sam and Nick just call. So she said, so I said, really? She was like that. I was surprised she wouldn't like it. I don't know. And she's like, yeah, they're horrible people. And I'm like, well, I just said to you they were my friends. And so I was like, no, I think they're pretty nice. They're my pals. I don't think they're bad people at all. So she was really the only person in the lift making any accusations about anyone's character or anything like that.
It's true. She could have just stopped
She could have just stopped there and said, oh, yeah, I heard of it.
Persisted.
But she persisted against all odds. She said, yeah, they oftentimes will conduct coordinated harassment campaigns of women and POC. Yeah. So then I said, have you listened to Trump? Like, I don't think that's what that is. And she started getting really upset, because really the way the conversation happened was she'd make a statement and then I'd ask a question, because I was like
that's a mistake.
See, that's
interviewing
her.
That's sea lioning.
It's called sea lioning.
And she's not there to do emotional labor for you.
I was just trying to understand.
Is that what sea lioning is?
Yeah, it's a sea lioning.
It's basically asking any kind of follow-up on any statement.
But isn't that what, like, these women with the, you know, with the candles and the sheets, isn't that what they want men to do, is ask them questions?
Not randos. I don't think they want randos to ever ask them questions.
They don't. Yeah. I mean, they don't want.
I saw a lady with a mattress.
But a rando is just a guy you haven't fucked yet.
That's a good attitude to take.
So I was like, so I was just confused why she thought that. Like, I just sort of wanted to know.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, first of all, I think that's kind of weird, because, you know, I have a female friend that's on their podcast.
Hashtag not your shield.
And yeah, so then she was like, yeah, one. And I was like, okay, I don't know. And then I was like, well, that's kind of like, aren't you just like, by saying that all these people are white men, aren't you just acting like you're erasing the identities of all the women and POCs?
Why were you having this argument?
Dude.
Why? Oh,
I just wanted...
Why were you having tweets in the back of a Lyft? Why were you exchanging tweets?
I don't know. I don't know why I engaged, but she seemed to be very upset, and I was kind of having fun. I was bored at that point. I wasn't harassing, but I was interested in seeing where it was going. Anyway... Point is, it sort of gets on the subject of Sadie Doyle, and I said, well, I think that she's kind of unhinged.
Sexist.
Right? She's like tweeted at my friend like for like 3 days on end, and like, you know, my friend was just responding with pictures of Dr. Eve that said Ryan. I didn't say that. I didn't say that, but I was like,
God, he was like a brick wall. He was magnificent.
Oh,
that
was beautiful.
One of Nick's finest performances.
Yeah, yeah, that was really.
It blows me away that didn't become a meme way of like deflecting someone or trolling someone because it's so perfect.
Oh, it was incredible. Anyway, I didn't say that about Nick, but I was like, I know she's like tweeted at friends of mine for like days on end, like every 20 minutes.
And has actually done coordinated campaigns to get people fired from their job.
That's
which is something we've never done.
Right. She's like gotten people fired, like, and you know, limited their ability to earn a living, like, I think. And so she said, so after that whole thing, I said her only response was unhinged. Unhinged. And I'm like, yeah, I think that's unhinged. And she's like, you see, you don't get it, you really don't get it, like, that's exactly the point that I'm making of like how basically, she's a genius, and I'm a dumb idiot and a dummy dumb dumb, and I don't get my misogyny. But obviously, you know, I think.
And did you respond extremely well to that? And immediately pick up the bell hooks?
No, she was saying that that's a gendered term, and that in later on, she tweeted about it. She claimed that I called women unhinged, not one particular person. That is. Potentially, I don't want to sound ableist, but unhinged.
Adam in the back of the car. We just got to get rid of women. I can't stand the fucking complaining.
I mean, granted, I was dressed and in my Andrew Dice Clay t-shirt. I was wearing my Dice Man Cometh t-shirt. And
I was get rid of the broads.
I was smoking a cigarette straight
around
their
your
face.
Head.
Yeah.
And no,
Hickory
also,
Dickory Dock, wearing... Sadie can suck my cock.
So,
also wearing a mystery hat.
So I was just trying to ask her. So the last part was I was just trying to ask her, like, isn't it sexist to deny that women didn't like Hillary? Like, to deny that.
Dude.
And,
what?
And
what are
her
you
face.
Doing?
And so then she starts going.
This is a person who has crafted a elaborate.
I didn't know who it
mind
was.
Castle world where Hillary is president.
You don't wake up a sleepwalker, Adam. You never wake up
Adam,
a sleepwalker.
This is like if you see three people in matching jumpsuits and the same Nikes, and you're like, wait, you can't get on a comet by killing yourself. You know that, right?
I was defending your honor, guys. Anyway, so she, in the middle of like a question that I was sitting on, she just starts going, this conversation is over. This conversation is over. And I was like, but I just... No.
Oh, that's actual
done,
assault.
Right? So then I'm like, so then we're like sitting there in silence. And
cool.
The cab driver's like looking at me and he's like just mouthing like, what the fuck? Because like, so then, you know, I feel bad. It's quiet. I feel like I got in like some sort of like argument in a relationship and that we're taking like a quiet, like silent car ride together and another 10 minutes in the car with this lady. So I was just like, I just like broke the silence by saying like, listen, like, I didn't wake up this morning trying to, I see you're upset, and like, I didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
You're
and I
asking
feel,
for mercy. That is the worst thing.
I know, because I was on the right side of history. But anyway. So I was like, listen, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. I can see you're upset, and I'm not like an asshole. And I don't want to like wake up and just mess with people that I don't know and make them upset. And, you know, I think I'm a pretty nice person, actually.
Oh, no.
And so then she goes, you, guy. I didn't know that you can't say that you're nice. I don't know. That's
you didn't get the
rules.
Press release.
I didn't get the press release from Chelsea Clinton that I'm not allowed to say that. And so then she's like, exactly, a nice guy. When I said person, but she was like, a nice guy.
She's the one gendering you.
She's like, you're a nice guy. Like, you honestly, it was like in the tone of, you're too stupid to ever get woke. And like, you'll never be on my level. You're just a coordinated harassing, brocialist piece of shit. I mean, she obviously, that was just the tone of all of it. The last part, right, of the story is like, so she rejects my apology. We're sitting in a silent cab and the driver feels really awkward. So he just goes to me, like, after another 5 minutes of silence, he goes, so what's your experience with rideshare? Which was the first question.
Are you sure this wasn't a malfunctioning Johnny cab? So I was like, recall?
So I was like, honestly, I don't really take, I live in New York. I don't really take Lyft or Uber that much. But I'm taking Uber this week because it's very cheap in LA and it's much more expensive in New York. And he goes to me, well, we're not in Uber, we're in Lyft. And I'm like, oh, I just call them all Uber. But actually, I deleted Uber, and then I looked at her.
Oh, no.
This was my Larry David moment. This was like, God. I couldn't stop myself. We were like pulling up to the place I needed to go. I couldn't stop myself because I knew this would just infuriate her. Oh, but God. I just said, actually, I deleted Uber because the CEO is sexist to women.
Oh, my God.
I wish we had dashboard cam footage of her right after you left. Like, literal Steve shooting out of her ears.
That was a more awkward cab ride than fucking Travis Bickle and Martin Scorsese in Taxi Driver. You know who lives in that apartment? Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton lives in that apartment. It's not the White House, though. You know who's in there? You're going to laugh at this.
Well, actually, for the future, you don't need to defend us at all, ever. Yeah. Especially not in person.
I don't even need to mention you, really.
Just enjoy the show and know that it's not
Imagine
for everyone.
Imagine if I said, come town. But... yeah, so she then said, I was like nervous because some of the fans said they found the tweets. And I was like, they were like, oh, should we tell other people? And I was like, no. And then I guess that people found out. It's public speech. People found it. Whatever.
She went on a tweet storm.
And I was like nervous because I was like, I don't know. I don't want this person to get harassed. I don't want to prove her point, you know, like, and so, but the fan, the cum nation, there's so much love in cum nation. The fans, one of them responded to the one, like the serious, women don't give me the time of day vibes tweet. And, posted a picture of me and Stav kissing and said, actually, he's in a happy, loving relationship. And someone's like,
that's great.
Someone's like, actually, you harassed a queer Jewish youth. Which is like, I think that's positive.
The best way to
respond. Yeah, I think that's positive.
The whole thing, like the targeted harassment thing, just like means that you're popular, you have a lot of followers, and you made fun of someone's thoughts on a public forum.
Yeah,
someone's like the thoughts that they've broadcast in a public forum, and you made fun of it.
That's one of the confluences between liberals and alt-right is that they both think posting is like war. And that if you like quote tweet someone or just even say anything about him and more than like two people tweet at that person, that's like assault. It's the same way that the alt-right guys are like, we're ready for meme war.
Well, but it's because those are the people who do like to participate in pylons. So, of course, it's what they ultimately fear the most.
Yeah.
So in their mind, they're like, let's go after this, you know, whatever, ninth grader in Tucson who... you know, it doesn't know what speech to use, that their greatest fear is it being turned against them. And so they interpret it when there's two people being like, oh, I don't agree with you.
Well, it's like a click like any other click, you know, like I didn't think that this was like a big podcaster person, but she's got like a following, you know, like, and there she got like a response on Twitter. It's not like it's, you know, the other thing is, I gotta fucking say, you really can't talk shit in LA. You can't talk shit on Hillary. You can't talk shit on any fucking movies because someone's probably there that worked on Boss Baby. So you got to be like, oh, that was good.
Well,
that was good.
I would like to meet them because I have a lot of questions.
I feel like if I was in Brooklyn for the most part.
No, but DC is like that. DC is totally like that.
Yeah, you can't even talk shit about the city of DC on the streets or else you'll get hurt when people will get
hurt.
They
all kiss each other's asses. They're like, okay, ideologically, supposedly, on paper, we're diametrically opposed, but there's no reason why we can't go out and get a bland burger.
People in DC love eating a burger that tastes and feels like a hockey puck.
They're very upset about these burgers had in DC. They're like, they're
so
traumatized.
The caliphate should honestly take over DC. It would make it a better city. It would end the chronic alcoholism problem among wonks, and they would have quality halal meat.
I have another idea. Boss Baby Burger.
There we go.
Oh, okay. Now we're talking.
Made with real baby.
Yeah.
It was really weird, and I didn't think that anyone would find out who it was or that she would have been tweeting about me. But I guess while she was sitting there angry, she was dragging me for her high sweeties online.
This is definitely the most boring episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, that's probably not true.
Actually,
it's a very hit or miss show. Your show doesn't hold.
What if your phone knew your name? What if you and your computer had the same birthday? What if your mate was a TV? What if you had to plug your dog into a wall and charge him? What if instead of someone saying how was your day, they said, what did you download?
Can we segue from that potentially that dystopian future to ours? And I just wanted to get, you know, Adam's thoughts on I think word of the week, no phrase of the week, phrase of the year. Holocaust censors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were just saying, like, we don't know why everyone's yelling at Sean Spicer. Like, that's hilarious. You have to pick your battles.
A room full of the finest comedy minds could be locked together with typewriters for 100 years, given the Boss Baby Infinity Immortality Serum, and they would not come out with a fucking phrase as funny as Holocaust censors.
Yeah. It's good. I mean, I'm not that angry. Another funny take, which was I heard a lot.
Really, you're not?
It's hilarious.
Why?
I mean, if people are asking me to be mad about it. Like my dad called me. Both my parents on speakerphone called me about it. And they.
Adam,
and they were like,
have you heard about the Holocaust centers?
And they were like, on Passover, for them to do this on Passover. Adam, how dare he? Anyway, I just think the funniest part to me was that Sean Spicer called Sheldon innocent apologize.
That's the Trump White House. Like, you have to call the richest whatever race you offended.
Really, which is offensive because he's not a representative.
But like
of
Sheldon
Jews.
Edelson is like not even
he is
there
a
mentally.
Mute.
He's cartilage at this point.
Yeah. You know, and the real victim in all
his
of this.
His organs have ossified.
I've seen him before. He's like goes around in one of those like golf cart.
Where have you seen him?
Oh, at Jewish community functions in Las Vegas growing
Vegas,
up.
Vegas, dude.
Yeah, I'm from Vegas. Yeah. I think the main victim in all of this, and I think this is the lesson we can learn, is Bibi Netanyahu, because he should have gotten that call and he should have been apologized to by Sean Spicer because he is the president of all of us.
Bibi is, unfortunately, he's infallible. He's like the Pope to us.
Yeah.
He's greater than the Pope.
Yeah.
For me, it really proved that I don't even know if this is true, but in my heart it's true. Sean Spicer has to be a child of the American suburbs because like he couldn't think of a phrase, and like instead of the word camp, you thought of center, like fucking Guitar Center or a goddamn like electronic store in his shitty exurban hometown.
Yeah, he's
come on down to Holocaust Center.
I feel like he's just crying so much of the day that like I gotta give him the pass. And also he's so funny too.
Oh, he's hilarious.
Like, yeah.
He's so fucking funny.
He is the best one of all of them, and I hope he stays around. In fact, after Trump is president, I want Spicer to stay on as press secretary.
Hiccups and tears.
He just has to be comprehensively criticized.
Show them all
hours a day by the president of the United States, that maniac. Just with the gray suit that he wore at the first presser, like when Donald Trump afterwards was like, "You looked like absolute shit."
That's why Trump met with Steve Harvey.
Oh man,
you coming out to address the United States of America. How you looking like you still got the damn coat hanger in there? Now, Sean, you gotta think like a husband, but act like a wife.
Oh man, I need the United States of America with only 3 buttons on that suit.
We need Spicer out there in the boat-sized double.
We need him. Yeah. We need him in a 12-button eggplant, 1998 NBA draft, first round. Sean,
I want my president in aubergine.
Sean, we got you a double-breasted vest.
I mean, I'm still waiting for the fucking Ben Carson, Steve Harvey going around fixing the inner cities of America tour.
We were promised that.
It hit a slight roadblock recently.
We got to talk about this.
Oh, because he got stuck.
Ben Carson got stuck in an elevator today.
Yeah. Another one bites the dust.
I did not consider myself as much stuck inside the Tyson Krupp contraption as much as I felt as though the world was stuck around me. There's no way to prove that the elevator wasn't moving, whereas the world had just stopped. I believe it was the prophet Jehoshaphat in the Book of Gargamel who said that the man who travels in a stuck pontoon boat does not see the river move, for he is moving the river. I want to say to the firefighters who rescued me, though I could have escaped from it on my own talents, that I appreciate you for risking your lives and your family's lives for reaching into the metallic beast.
That's so good.
How long was he in there? And
oh, like 4 minutes.
Three eons.
What is a minute to God?
Ben Carson is God.
No, that fucking rules. But actually, Adam, I wanted to ask you about another member of the Trump cabinet that you had a very funny story about. Stephen Miller.
Oh,
that,
shit.
That bug-eyed...
Yeah.
Psycho looking like
you haven't heard too much about him.
I was
LA.
So my
like he was like the sort of like skull.
It really makes me worry that he's in a sub bunker of the White House with like a big whiteboard and it's all filled with a horrifying thing that he's gonna unleash on us.
So I was just in LA. I'm from Santa Monica originally, like West LA. Liberal. They used to call it the People's Republic of Santa Monica. They'd always like elect fucking socialists and stuff because they for their city council and stuff. Anyway. My cousin, and then we moved to Vegas and whatever. My cousin went to Santa Monica High with Stephen Miller, and he said that a couple things. We talked about it in LA.
In profiles I've read of Stephen Miller, yeah. Like it talks about how he like forged his conservative blade and ire going to the ultra liberal Santa Monica High School.
I hate to like go on like the Prison Paul, what's his name?
Prison Planet!
But, like, in a place like Santa Monica, him, like, getting into conservative talk radio, like, every kid was in, like, the liberal, like, upbringing was encouraged to have a thing. And so they were like, well, that's Steve's thing. Like, you know, like, he's just really into Rush Limbaugh. Like, you know, like, it's weird, but that's...
It's a healthy interest, but yeah, it will pass.
He's a teenager, and he's just gotten into some weird shit, and, like, we'll just let him get into it, and then he'll learn on his own.
Oh, my God.
He like definitely... called his parents by their first names for sure.
Uh-huh.
He'd be like, you know, whatever.
So it's just an Alex P. Keaton situation
for sure. Yeah. For sure, you know, like sort of upper middle class liberal Jewish family. But yeah, he got into conservative talk radio, and then he's like started writing op-eds for local newspapers, where he'd say like, oh, everyone in my high school is fucking and they're giving the kids condoms so they could fuck and it's so messed up that they're all fucking each other with the condoms that the school gives them. And if those condoms weren't there, they definitely wouldn't be having sex with each other. And the school is encouraging this behavior. But my cousin was telling me that he sort of like breaks it down to the fact that he was like, he remembers like when they were like 11 or 12. It was actually his girlfriend Kelsey was in the same class as him. Like he started male pattern baldness. She's like, it just comes from
man.
That. She's like, it's all.
Oh God, yeah, no, he didn't have a chance.
Yeah, he didn't have a chance. Well, like he started going bald real young. But the best story that they told me was he ran for student body president their senior year, and he gave a speech where at the end of the speech he got booed by all 4,500 students of the entire school, and so he ended the speech by saying, why should we be expected to pick up after ourselves when we pay janitors to do that for us? And literally the entire school just started booing him. And
he's so hateable that he made kids like boo littering. That's amazing.
Fuck you, bitch! Homework rules.
And so yeah, but it I just imagine him, this just bald 17-year-old boy on stage, instead of like, you know, in high school, it sort of is punk rock. I hate to I hate to say what prison
That's
Paul is
right,
trying to
Adam.
Say, but like
conservatism is the new punk
it's
rock.
It's the new punk rock. And yeah, no, fuck the Beatles. No, so fucking, you know, in high school I just spent my entire time making everyone think I was cool, or trying to make everyone think I'm cool. This dude literally wanted to antagonize the entire school. He wanted to be loath. He was literally a wrestling villain. He was literally on stage getting booed by his entire school, which for any other normal, from what I would consider normal human being,
like a psychically scarring
event. Nightmare end in a germy spoken class today kind of situation.
Yeah. Exactly. That would be the Carrie moment, like just getting laughed at and booed by your entire school. But this dude was on stage, like putting his hand, cupping it behind his ear, like, can you hear that? Fuck the poor.
For a certain type of broken brained individual who is met with revulsion by everyone they meet, they internalize that and make sense of it in their own mind by thinking, well, if everyone hates me and is disgusted by me, that means that I'm right. Like being hated is proof that your ideas are too much for the mob, you know, the dumb normies to handle, and that you're just too fucking logical for them.
Yeah,
it's
I mean,
Ted
this
Cruz
is
disease.
Very basic antisocial,
yeah,
like psychology. That's what they're like.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea of him as like the high school punk rocker, like
he's punk rock,
like on stage, like in front of his entire school, like, you know, Sid Vicious when he went on his solo act, that would just be like smacked up doing covers of Iggy Pop, and then would just be like, do I look like I piss myself? Fuck you, wanker.
I'm gonna do fucking affirmative action is racist.
Yeah, he's like the G.G. Allen of conservatism. It is the new punk rock, dude. I agree.
He takes a county property tax bill, like shoves it up his ass.
He's got all the G.G. Allen tattoos, but they're just logical fallacies.
Well, you know, I mean, like there is a certain logic to this, like doing something so radically unpopular. There's something a little punk about that. But what he was doing was essentially, as a teenager, calling into the Larry Elder conservative talk radio program. So like, sorry, I'm still not buying it.
I'm sorry, sucking up to that's like, just a brown nose.
Yeah.
That's a nerd.
Anything that people don't like is punk rock. Yeah.
That's true, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I find that like when I really fart like crazy in a rideshare, that's the new punk rock.
So what's your experience with rideshare? Let's break this down.
I mean, sometimes I got gas. No, I don't say a fucking thing is my experience with rideshare.
You're in New York.
I mind my business.
I immediately start ranting about the White Helmets documentary.
What's our experience with rideshare? What's our experience with another form of transportation that everyone loves to hate? I'm talking about air travel, people. Any other hot news
What's
item
the
of this
with
week?
Those peanuts there.
All right, so you want me to do my 20-minute chunk for my act on the airlines?
No, and United beating the shit out of that guy and kicking him off the plane.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what everyone's been talking about. They say
bring your seat back up, and I'm like, back and up? How do you do both? That's my question. What's the deal?
Actually, the Chicago police actually beat that guy up because he said, fuck you, I'm getting in the plane, not on it.
Why don't they make the whole plane out of the black box? That's what I want to know.
Why don't they make the whole plane out of that Vietnamese doctor?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm very excited for this segment. We have a new friend of mine. As many of you may have heard, I'm an ANCAP now. And the guy sort of guiding me through being an ANCAP, his name is Andy ANCAP. He's the fourth biggest ANCAP personality on YouTube, and he has some solutions for this.
What is ANCAP? Just for anyone who may not.
Andy Cap, everyone's favorite drunken, British lout from the comic books.
That's what a lot of people get wrong.
Hot fries.
The hot fries guy. It stands for anarcho-capitalism, but Andy Cap, that's the official snack of ANCAPs. They invented it. It's a volunteerist factory. The workers make $1.09 an hour, and it's a paradise.
But all of the hot fries.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's you just eat those and you're like, wow, ANCAP works. But I think we should talk to Andy right now.
Andy, what do you think of all this controversy over United using the police to beat the shit out of some guy and throw him off a plane that he paid for?
Greetings and mutual non-aggression. Andy ANCAP at your service. The ANCAP way to deal with this situation is, well, first that... the United had absolute property rights to even kill this doctor if they wanted to, as the plane was their property. And the moment that you walk onto somebody's property, you are living by their principles. Luckily, through the non-aggression principle, murders do not usually occur because it would not be mutually profitable for both parties. However, we do recognize that there is great statist overreach on airplanes and even the purchase of tickets, as was the case with this incident. So, the anarcho-capitalist way to solve this problem is to make airplane tickets worth $300,000. But they're not a ticket to buy, just a single ride on the airplane. It is you own the seat as you would a house. And with each successive ride, it increases in value as it would during real estate. So if you're a good passenger, the market value of your seat rises a good 10% year to date with compounding interest. But then you turn it around, you sell it to another guy who wants to fly. This way, because now everyone is a homeowner, there's no more assaults. And there's no age of consent because you're technically a thief. All right. Thank you guys for having me. I have to go buy a new cape.
I can't believe we got Andy ANCAP.
And that's you a really got good get for pod. Us.
I hope this will be the first of many appearances.
Like, I don't agree with him on everything, but he's a smart guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but like, I mean, aside from Andy ANCAP, I mean, we all know and respect his opinion, but who the fuck are the rest of these slugs going out of their way to defend United Airlines in this
well,
situation?
What do they call it? They called it terrorism.
Oh, plenty of people. I read something from Tyler Cowen today who was just like breaking down why, actually, according to economics, they really did nothing wrong. I mean, like, what do you expect
well,
from this airline?
Well, here's the thing. Anyone who...
They don't know the difference between rational and moral.
Yeah, that
well,
is true.
Moral doesn't mean anything, but that's just gibberish. Rationality is all we have. No, but like the people who are observing it from afar and choosing to side with the airline, fuck those people for eternity. They're just bootlickers. They're just instinctive, craven, just courtiers of power. But if you were on that plane and you wanted to see that guy get his head caved in, I totally understand. Because I want to get the fuck out of there, and this asshole won't fucking leave.
That's what they do. They use people's like discomfort of the situation against them so that you blame the person being abused by authority.
Yes. It's not that they fucking dipshittedly overbooked the flight and then wouldn't pay for more and are like having like a staff, like using it for staff, you know, travel. It's this asshole won't stand up.
But
I'll cut his head off myself. I gotta
interrogate it. Like, I mean, like, this is like interrogation techniques. Like, this is what the military used to do. I think they've kind of phased it out, but it's like, this is the guy that's making it bad for all of you. Even though you're all being abused, they pick one guy who is like, well, you know, everything's shitty, but it's his fault.
It's Private
He's
Pyle.
Making me do this to you.
Yeah, smacking Private Pyle with the fucking soap boxes. But I got to tell you, I'm pretty sure that they got those chairs they sat the guys in Abu Ghraib from the airlines. Am I right, people?
No.
I mean, they're a torture city.
Small.
Seriously, I'll tell you anything you want, Miss Flight Attendant.
New rule. Chelsea Manning is being released from prison in May. Human rights activists criticized the U.S. government's treatment of Private Manning, saying that it was inhumane to put even a whistleblower in United Coach.
New rule. Nah, just... The loud. See, at the beginning, the loud wasn't present, but now the loud is loud right now.
Wait,
we were doing when we were in LA. Me and Stav and Nick were walking around, and we kept just seeing something like, why is this guy so bad at parking? Was it the Republicans? We just do every joke and the punchline be the Republicans.
Wait a minute, you were walking in LA? I thought that was illegal there. Talking about the difference between LA and New York. Am I right, folks?
Yeah, whose idea was that? The Republicans.
God, he still has a viewership. It's insane.
It's an insane viewership, and yeah.
Oh God, I'm so mad at
more ways than one.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's all guys like my dad that just like they love it. They love it because he doesn't pussyfoot around those Muslims.
It's like, why can't I believe in sensible gun control and literally destroying the Middle East?
Yeah, I mean, well, wild times.
That's too.
Is
that's,
he?
That's good. Just like Trump.
Yeah, but he's pro marijuana.
That's the only. Well, he's pro basically the ganja. If you go to Whole Foods and smoke weed, you should never go to the doctor. He like literally believes that.
He doesn't think germ theory is real. He's awesome.
New rule. I don't want to hear anything else about this incandescent theory of light. It's phlogiston. Okay, people?
Okay, I wanted to do one, but I can't do the voice, but I really think we could have worked with Louis Pasteur and calling him a Republican.
Whose idea was that? The Republican.
Thank you. I can't do the voice.
Boiling water to prevent infections? Whose idea was that?
You just don't even finish the word.
New rule. If you don't keep a window open to get rid of bad vapors and bad humored spirits, you have to run for Congress as a Republican.
What's wrong with Sarah Palin? Has she been sleeping in a room with a fan on and having her soul periodically stolen every night from her life? She's dumb, folks. Come on. Why are you laughing at that? He's also a shameless in berating his audience for not laughing.
You're weak.
He has the obnoxious body language too, where he does the hand thing, that very like, oh look, it's a nervous tic, but it's not a nervous tic. Yeah. Anyway, he is somewhat responsible for normalizing hawkishness among liberals. Anyway.
New rule, if the Arab brain could process democracy.
Yeah, the only Jewish guy who's in religious is an anti-Zionist rabbi. Like, get a load of this nutcase. The chosen people were not given Israel by God. Look at this.
That guy destroyed Bill Maher, too, because Bill Maher was like, but don't you think that the only democracy in the Middle East should be preserved? And then he brings up the Holocaust. He's like, well, what about if the Holocaust happens again? Like, great arguments. But the rabbi goes, my entire family was killed in the Holocaust. And Bill Maher just stands up and goes, fuck this.
That was the one he walks out on.
Right. He walked out on that one. That was like, after the guy in the Jesus costume owned him.
That guy owned him, too.
Yeah. Don't bring a Holocaust to a gunfight.
Don't bring a gun to the Holocaust Center.
Yeah,
I just keep hearing that Modern Lovers song, Down at the Government Center, as Down at the Holocaust Center.
Oh, the Holocaust Center. Oh, I'm thinking of Costco.
Wait, is that?
Is that where you got those fucking shoes?
No, but I was staying across the street from the Holocaust Museum in L.A. And stop. There's this picture.
Did you pick that?
There's this picture that which I think is one of the funniest pictures online, but Stav wanted me to recreate it, and I was even like, come on, dude. I'm not going to do that. But this guy, Danny Green, who plays for the Spurs, the San Antonio Spurs, was in Berlin at the Holocaust Memorial, and he's just, he takes a selfie with his hands like to the side, and like, big smile on his face is like, and the caption is like, Holocaust Memorial, had to do it. Yo, so Stav's like, yo, take the Danny Green picture in front of it, like with your arms to the sides. I'm like, dude, I'm not doing that.
You didn't do it?
But it is a point. It is a point of like just my tourism. Whenever I visit a city, I go to their Costco to see what it's like, and I do visit their local Jewish museum / Holocaust Center.
It's like some Tom Friedman shit. It's called the Costco and Holocaust Museum Fest.
If your country has more Costcos than Holocaust museums, you might have another genocide.
Yeah. No, we didn't actually end up going because I think it should be in Europe, right, guys? Why is it here? Totally. Why in L.A.? Whose idea was that? The Republican. Oh man. So that doctor should have gotten dragged off the plane. What do you guys think?
No, but no, if I was on the plane, I understand if you wanted to see it.
What if they tried to do it to you, Max? What if they tried to do it to you?
I would meekly submit to authority. I'm a fucking veal cow.
No, you're not. You were just telling me today how you almost got like pulled aside by TSA for like throwing one of the tubs because you didn't know that to go to Canada you had to keep your passport on you while going through the check.
That did happen.
So you had a fit.
It was a very small fit.
You got angry at pub quiz the other night. You stood up for the injustice of incorrect questions. Greenland is not a country.
Yes. Well, it isn't for one
part of Denmark.
Greenland,
right?
Is not. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Greenland is not a country. The least populous country by land area is Mongolia because it's an actual country, unlike Greenland. No, but if there's a fucking cop in my face, I'm not gonna get you mad. I'm a domesticated American.
Three words.
You're a pug.
I'm a cuck.
Three words. Letters of marquee. Do you have one, sir? No, you do not. By naval law, I can arrest you.
Well, did you see?
I love the amount of balls that all those "Am I being detained?" guys have because they actually do it, and then they just get the shit beat out of them. They're so confident.
Oh, I kind of believe those dudes like can only come if they get tased.
Yeah, they're into electrostim.
Yeah.
Well, actually, my favorite of like the contrarian United Airlines takes was the people who said, you know, a lot of sympathy for this doctor. I wonder how much sympathy there would be if you were wearing a Make America Great hat. And I just love that they have to invent these, like, totally fictional grievances and then get mad about the thing that
now
they've invented in their head.
That man was white. That's ridiculous.
Fair enough. I probably would have thought it was funnier. I mean, it was still kind of funny. Come on.
They have a point.
But, if he had a stupid hat on, it
we would have
been
alarmed by the extension of violence towards a human being under, a business.
Like, here's what's crazy.
Imagine if it was Bana Olabet.
But, like, this is the thing. Why does the Chicago Police Department have to enforce every bizarre detail of the contract you supposedly enter in with an airline?
Because in their modern form, they were invented as a shabiha for the fat fuck alcoholic dumbasses of the Daily family. And so now that the Dailies aren't in power anymore, just any fucking round-faced, fucking red-nosed Mick retard can give them, he just tell them to do anything. And they're like, oh, well, it involves beating up a minority, so I'll do it. That's the CPD. The CPD is bounded by the Constitution to just assault anyone that isn't white.
Yeah, we stumbled upon a fundamental contradiction between private property and public provision.
And I remember, I read about, like, how will this affect the markets? And they're like, yeah, this won't affect anything. No one cares, and they're beholden to airlines anyway, and they just know.
They had a big drop in stock, but it's going to bounce back.
There was a dip. They're like, nah, we're not worried. It'll be fine. Not even a little bit.
Credit our most, our most recent guest after Adam, Alex Perrine, had a really great article about how just airline deregulation is like like how airlines work now is like a parody of how like people think capitalism is supposed to work. It is capitalist, but it works in the exact opposite way, in that there's like four firms that control every airline in America, and they have intentionally decided that it's more profitable to not compete with one another and thus just charge more for shittier and shittier service. And guess what? You can't vote with your dollar and go elsewhere.
I honestly think that I think that the modern airline industry is actually a giant Stanley Milgram experiment to see what like capitalists can get away with in abusing people, and like that data is being poured over, and like this thing was one of their big experiments. Like, okay, let's kick a guy in the fucking head
this
and drag
a Stanford
his,
prison
drag his
kind unco- of
yeah
print.
Drag his unconscious body through it and have everyone see it. Let's see what happens. It's like, well, not really anything. I mean, others have some choice Twitter owns that got aggregated by BuzzFeed. Oh, okay. Well, as some people pointed out, now we're just going to administer beatings at random, and you can pay for the privilege of maybe not getting hit.
Well, I only fly on Virgin Air, which is like flying at the club.
Bottle service?
Yo.
No, that's because they only allow virgins to fly on it.
No.
Oh!
That's not true, dude. It's
they looked at his shoes and were like, get this man a ticket. First class.
The shoes are bad, fam.
Yeah, these shoes are like my make people angry for the summer shoes. I knew what I was doing.
Yeah, you're trolling people with their shoes.
I'm trolling the homies, but I love them.
So that's catching us up on the hot news that's bringing up, you know, current events and news and everyone's water cooler discussion. But before Adam gets away, I want to talk about a topic that's hot to me.
Oh, no.
This topic to the trap. And I want an update on our boy Popcorn. Yes.
He's just having a tough time right now, according to Snapchat. He's not having a tough time. He's just using a lot of guns. And not
he's
just,
using them.
Not don't using worry. Them, but he's just holding them in his Snapchat, and he's listening to a lot of Future and...
So
just,
is Felix.
Yeah, this doesn't sound anything...
that sounds exactly like Felix.
I just want to see if he's okay. I did send him a snap, and it was just like, how's everything since you've been out? And he said, good man. So, solidarity with Popcorn.
What was the thing about how he was like, I heard they try to rob me. And he has like a stack next to his ear. He was like, heard they try to rob me yesterday. And he's like holding the money that apparently people tried to gank from him.
Yeah, he's like, showing a lot of money on his Snapchat and talking about sort of maybe paranoia or not paranoia about people trying to rob him, and but still, you know, waving the money and the weapons around. You know, the thing is he
smoking gas on the snap though?
He's not smoking gas, but he's smoking mad ports. Just busting,
but that's legal. You can't
blasting
PO
six.
Can't
yeah, he's been smart enough not to do drugs on Snapchat, but he does have a lot of guns on Snapchat. But I don't know, they could just be doing it for a picture, but. I don't know. The whole thing is sort of just taking me on this real emotional journey because I feel like I was following this boy, you know, who I thought was funny.
This is your version of Boyhood.
Yeah, it is like Boyhood. Yeah, it's in that only white men are moved by it.
Glad you got that layup.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, yeah. Shitting on the white man. I guess I learned something in that lift.
My God, he can be taught.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just a boy that I was following, and then I found out that the boy got in trouble, and I was concerned about the boy. I just thought he was funny because he was like, you know, just had... just
he's an outsized character.
Was like a 14-year-old that like thought he was like a...
cracker.
Yeah, he thought... Exactly. He's a rambling... boy,
larger
you know?
Than life,
larger than
love,
life.
It's a, it's
and then shit got
it's like
real.
If Thurman Merman got on the gas,
and now I feel sort of like, you know, like this responsibility to check up on him and make sure he's okay. And I really hope he is okay.
I really hope this all ends with you adopting him.
I really want him to be my son. And I'm gonna tell him, you know what, Popcorn, I know that you're a savage, but I will not accept that kind of language in my household. I don't care if your friends don't mind you using that word. It's not a word that white folks should be using, and it's got a lot of history behind it. And
Okay. This could be a sitcom. We could pitch this tomorrow.
An adult comic
and fan of the internet stumbles upon a struggling young Instagram gangsta and feels like he doesn't have anyone in his life. I'll be the role model.
Oh, I know.
And you both go to LA to like start your careers. You as a comic, him as a rapper.
Yeah. I told him, I did quote Will. I told Will, and Will's like, well, just tell him to make this money legally in the rap game. And so I told him that. He's like, yeah, bet, dude. That's what I'm working on right now. Yeah. So I was like, all right, cool. At least if he still has this dream of being a rapper, which I don't know if. Should I encourage? But whatever, you know.
You just get the legal paper.
You have a lot to learn about fatherhood.
Yeah. There are all these. I just feel like on a larger scale, there are all these people online who like aren't well known. But I feel like I've been following their lives for years now, and I feel like really weird about like there's this guy Nick 420 CA that I've just been watching smoke weed online for like 6 years now, and like I know like we found out he's married, and we found out like he got a new apartment and he got rid of the Bob Marley poster.
He's growing up in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy play with the man in the moon.
Exactly. I feel like I'm following these people's lives, and it's just like, or just regular freak shows from high school that I'm still at 30 years old just like watching have Facebook meltdowns and stuff, and just like I love it still. I can't quit all these people, and I guess I'm just gonna keep them in my lives forever and then write them a letter on my deathbed, each and every one of them. Popcorn. In the voice of Morgan Freeman. Popcorn, I love you. I've always loved you. For 60 years, I've watched you grow into a beautiful young man.
Well, respect to Pop, a true savage. Respect to Adam Friedland, a true friend.
Guys.
For sticking up for his friends. That's what a true friend does.
Happy birthday, Adam. Happy birthday as well.
Yeah, I'm a man of 30.
Happy birthday to your sister, too.
Oh, yeah.
Who shares the same birthday with you.
We have the same birthday, four years apart. My dad used to tell all my friends... it's because my wife only lets me have sex with her once a year. And then all my friends would be like, yo, your dad gets no pussy. He thought he was being the cool dad. But by complaining about his sex life to 13-year-olds, but he was not cool in their eyes at all.
So next time, Adam... Come town. Any upcoming things you want to plug?
We have funny moms this month. It's actually going to be like maybe the best one we've had. We have really good people this month.
What's the date?
On the 24th, the fourth Monday of April. April 24th. They come on everybody if you're in town. And then I think I don't know. I don't care. Actually, nothing else. I have nothing else.
Adam Friedland, everybody, Chapo for the week. Till next time. Cheers.
Bye-bye,
goodbye,
folks.
Bye.